Proverbs 3, verse 27. Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in the power of your hand to do it. Don't say to your neighbour, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it to you when you have it by you. What I love about the scriptures is not only that this is God's word, but that God's ways are intuitively attractive to us in our better side, as it were. For example, here, what he says here about if your neighbour needs something and it's in the power of your hand to do it, don't say, no, I won't do it today, I'll give it to you tomorrow. That is just so true to observed experience. It so makes sense. Yeah, don't be like that. Give it now. Because I'm absolutely sure that all of us at some point in our lives have felt the impulse to be generous, to give something, no matter how small, either material, financial, or something, maybe not money, but something. I believe we've all had that impulse. And we have thought, yeah, I want to do that. I should do that. And then there's this sort of, the break comes on. Yes, I will do it, but tomorrow. This evening. Not right now. And that break that comes on is, I think, what the Bible would call the devil, the flesh. Because procrastination, not obeying God's ways right now, straight away, is a desperate attempt to actually at least keep the option open that you might actually not make that donation, that you might actually not give when it's in the power of your hand to do so. We love children to say yes straight away, and God loves that from us as well. When it is in the power of your hand to do good, do it. And do not allow the idea of procrastination. Oh, well, I'll just chat to my wife about it. I'll just chat to Jim about it, or whoever, No. Be very careful that all this sort of delaying can end up a delaying tactic used by the flesh to stop you doing what you should do. Now, I'm not saying, of course, be rash, and I'm not saying, spend other people's money, or, if you're married, well, sure, you need to make these sort of decisions surely together and not ride roughshod over your partner in domestic matters. Sure, I'm not talking about being rash or unreasonable, but I think you know what I'm saying, that when it's in the power of your hand to do good, well, do it, because that little voice in the head that tempts us to sin is the same little voice that will say, yeah, do it tonight. I'll do it tomorrow. It can wait. This that is written here is absolutely relevant to observed human experience. When it is in the power of your hand to do good, to want to just delay doing it. If, for example, and giving money is the easiest example because it's so simple to imagine. But, if you're going to give that neighbour of yours, whatever it is, £10, €10, $10 or whatever, well, you might as well do it tonight as tomorrow morning. And this is the idea. But then you think wider. What other examples apart from money? And an example that I've come up with is forgiveness. You need to forgive those who've sinned against you. And yet, we tend to want to delay it. It seems that it takes us a while to forgive. But if you're going to forgive, you might as well do it straight away. You remember how the debtors came to their Lord and they were in debt, and the Lord frankly forgave. That the frankness of his forgiveness, it's in the parable, but it's all the same true, the frankness of his forgiveness means, like, immediately, sure, straight away. And I wonder, actually, whether we are actually capable of forgiving immediately. It seems so very difficult for all of us to do. But that is not to say that it is impossible. One has seen all sorts of cases. I can think of a community that I grew up in, a big fuss about marital issues of somebody married an unbeliever, let alone divorced, let alone remarried. well, you know, this was not acceptable. No, we can't have them. This is what they've done. And after a period of time, they could be accepted. And very often, they were not, as it were, penitent. No one is going to come and say, oh, yeah, my marriage to my wife is a sin. I regret it. Well, no, no healthy relationship runs on that basis of saying, well, I'm married to him or her, but, I admit it was a sin and... I wish I hadn't done it. It's not quite this sort of attitude you have. And so in many of those situations, I see that why was there the gap? Well, because people needed time to forgive. And you see that in so many church issues when it comes to moral issues. There is a sort of a shock, horror, sort of repulsion and retreat from the person who is supposed to have sinned, and yet over time they're accepted, even without them actually making any statement of repentance or sorry. And so it must be, because I don't see that you can only forgive if somebody repents. But my point in this context is, look, if you're going to forgive them after 2 years, well, why don't you forgive them tonight? Why do you need that time gap? It's no good saying, oh, well, it's for them, so that they learn a lesson. No, I think that's an excuse. I think it's for you. Because you can't forgive straight away, because it's very difficult to forgive straight away. And this is the challenge. When it's in the power of your hand to do good, well, do it. And don't put it off. In Psalm 119, David talks about how he hastens to obey God's commandments, how he's quick to obey. And yet he uses the same word several times also in the Psalms, when he asks God to hasten to help me, be quick, come and quickly help me, I'm in a crisis. Well, there's a mutuality between God and man. He had been quick, he says, to respond to God's word and to God's word to him, and he asks God to be quick likewise in responding to his word to God. And this is the idea, do it quickly. And again, I'm not encouraging us to rashness or foolishness or folly of acting on the cusp of pure emotion. But all the same, do it. And when you come to the Acts of the Apostles and the wider New Testament, you read of the response of people to the gospel, and people are being baptized there immediately. The Philippian jailer in the middle of the night. He gets baptized, and there's an earthquake going on, and he really had a million reasons to say, look, the prison's broken down, locks are broken, prisoners running around, I could lose my life unless I, restrain these guys. This falling masonry, we really do need to clear up. It's the middle of the night anyway. Where are we going to get water from? I guess an earthquake of that magnitude would have damaged any sort of... piped source of water. What, we're going to get it out of the well in the middle of the night and baptize all my family? They should all be sleeping. Look, why don't we leave it till at least the morning? Or let's just clear up this stuff and tomorrow afternoon, yeah, I'll definitely make some time. No, when you're confronted by the gospel, when you have really met Jesus, you've got to say yes straight away. And the New Testament is full of examples of people getting baptized straight away, 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. Pricked in their conscience, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. All right, yes, sir, here we are. Baptize us. Sure, he baptizes them. So, say yes straight away. I think that is the message. And that is part of the atmosphere of spiritual life in which we will live. We say yes straight away to God. And you will also sense that speed of God in responding to you.